This is WWE superstar Drew McIntyre, and you're listening to the WWE Podcast.
One that everybody wants, me.
Becky Lynch is going to WrestleMania.
Claymore!
Oh! Austin 316 says I just whipped your ass.
This is my iron.
You're going to acknowledge me.
All right, everybody. Welcome to the Monday Night Raw review here on the WWE Podcast. It is Tuesday, April 2nd, 2024. WrestleMania is now just 4 days away as I record this, and then it'll come and go as we look forward to next WrestleMania season. Now, there are lots of reports coming out right now that this might be Roman Reigns' last Raw appearance for a long time, and that he's planning on taking a lot of time off after WrestleMania, and, you know, of course, deservingly so, given his really rough schedule and having to make every TV and wrestle, you know, 100 matches this year. It does take a toll on the body. I'm being very, very sarcastic, but those are the reports coming out right now, and that would lead you to believe that there is a very strong chance Cody Rhodes does win. I'm still very much in that camp that he does win, but you'll have to wait until my official preview and prediction show that comes your way this week, later this week with Anthony DeMarco, as we go through match by match and our expectations of every match and possible surprises and all of the like. But before we get there, I'd like to invite you to go ad-free and get every show we do between now and the Monday Night Raw review next week for the Raw after Mania ad-free for free if you sign up right now at patreon.com/WWE podcast, or you go to Apple Podcasts and get a free trial. Both of those trials are 7 days for free, which means you can just get on the free trial and, hey, just take a free ride on us. Get everything ad-free and then bounce. But, of course, that's not the strategy, right? We hope you stay with us after WrestleMania and beyond. And, you know, that's just a way to get you in the door and take a look at what we have to offer with absolutely nothing out of your pocket. So check us out if you'd like to. Now, speaking of patrons, I want to give a shout-out to a few new patrons that have joined us over the last several days. And as you'd expect with WrestleMania season, we've got them coming in daily. Matthew Cheshire, Ian McCarthy, and Andy Mackey. All of you, thank you so much. Andy Mackey, I got to you. I told you I would. And I really do appreciate it to both Matthew Cheshire and Ian McCarthy as well. So thank you, everybody, for taking the time to check us out and maybe stick with us. All right, let's get into Monday Night Raw as... my God, it emanated from Brooklyn, New York. The Rock opens the show, adding a few new wrinkles to his entrance with the flash of The Rock himself behind on the LED boards, which was really cool. And then when the music transitions from the typical Rock song to the 2003 Hollywood version of The Rock, we get the final boss done perfectly with the chords and the song synced beautifully. And The Rock comes out, milks his entrance for about 15 minutes. And you know that here's a poll for people that I might put up. What lasts longer in the tag team match? The bell ringing and the match ending, or the entrances of all four men? I mean, Seth Rollins might be the fastest coming out, but the rest of them, I mean, Roman Reigns and The Rock are going to take 15 minutes by themselves to come out. I'm being half serious, but with this being WrestleMania, entrances are longer just by default. And the fact that the ramp is also three times as long and everyone adds a little spice to their entrance and a new version of a song, or you have a live band performing your song, or you have extras in your entrance, or you're smashing a car through, you know, driving a Mustang down to the arena, or arriving via helicopter, a la Charlotte Flair and John Cena. You add a lot of pizzazz and presentation to your entrance, and somebody should do a number of minutes just for entrances alone throughout the entire show. I'm very curious as to just how many minutes are dedicated to entrances, but The Rock comes out, and the crowd loved it. I mean, the crowd was eating this up. So for those that think he's a heel, I mean, he is on paper. But boy, when you hear and see The Rock, he is so damn over. So over. It's crazy. And the more I think about it, the more the whole possible interference of John Cena and Austin, maybe that happens in the match of the tag team match so that nothing is muddied with Roman and Cody come night two. I still think Austin and John Cena could get involved and might get involved. But what about Austin and Cena showing up night one, allowing no bloodline rules to take place in the first place, and therefore nothing is overbooked on night two between Roman and Cody? It's just straight up. How about that? So we'll see if that prediction holds as we get closer. But let's get into it here. And The Rock said that he, quote, made that boy bleed. And he boasted that he ran Cody's head into the side of a tour bus and he made him bleed. The crowd was giving him the whole what treatment. I'm surprised he didn't say anything about that. And he said the only thing missing were the tears of Mama Rhodes. Rock recalled telling Cody that he would make him bleed, which is what he whispered in his ear. He said the Cody crybabies didn't like it and said the Cody crybabies were upset that Rock made their hero bleed. And he said that he just laughed because they were grown adults crying about Cody. And there were some reactions that stopped him in his tracks. And he cut to footage of people on TikTok and little girls crying. And actually, as we come in here, I have to stop because we got a new patron. Kelsey Gloyd. Kelsey, I hear you. I see you. I'm in the middle of recording as I saw your pledge come through to join us here. And by the way, anybody, Kelsey, Matthew, anybody, if you need the Patreon Discord link, I'll send it to you. If you don't see it, let me know. Okay, so thank you, Kelsey Gloyd, for joining us just now. All right, but he said that he saw these young girls crying, and he said it breaks his heart. One of the girls was really funny. They said that The Rock killed Cody or something like that. Like, one of the girls believed that Cody was dead. That was hilarious. Rock said he's a proud three-time girl dad. It breaks his heart. Rock said it broke his heart to see those reactions. And this is where it got really funny. My God. Rock told the fans to put their kids in front of the television so that Uncle Rock could drop some gospel on them. Can we put that on a shirt? Can we get hashtag Uncle Rock, please? Can we please? Oh, my God. That made me laugh. Rock addressed the little boys and girls by saying there are moments in life when a man has to do what a man has to do. And Rock said there are moments in life when people stick their noses where it doesn't belong. And there are moments in life when he has to beat Cody's punk ass down over and over again. And the crowd loved this. Rocky chant broke out. And then Rock asked the fans if they felt it. He said professional wrestling is cool. Rock said the ratings have skyrocketed because of him. I mean, he's not wrong. It's not all because of him, but there's no denying he's a needle mover. Rock said the fans set the record for the largest gate in the history of Raw, and it was a sellout at 15,546. And I think it's their 13th, was it their 13th consecutive sellout, televised sellout? That's pretty impressive. One that, you know, you never would have really talked about back in the day. I mean, it was just given that it was a sellout, but there was such a long period of time in between that consistent of selling out of arenas and now that it's actually something they want to boast about, and it's boastable. You know, selling out televised show 13 times in a row, that's impressive. It's impressive. So I don't blame them for flexing a little bit there. Rock said there's one reason why. And then said, finally. Rock said, finally, blood was shed. We're only 5 days away from WrestleMania. And finally, the final boss has come back to Brooklyn. The Rock got more chance. And that's when Roman Reigns made his entrance. And Solo Sikoa and Jimmy also came out. And Cole continues to tout the number of days Reigns is champion, as if anyone's really paying attention anymore. But maybe we should, because Roman's reign is likely coming to an end on Sunday night. And if that's the case, then yeah, I mean, it's relevant to keep telling us. But honestly, I don't care about the number of days anymore. I think I stopped caring many, many hundreds of days ago. You know, after you got to 1,000, it's like, all right, now what are we doing, right? You know, the other stat that they touted about Roman, I think it was during his entrance, might have been Cole who said it, could have been Pat McAfee, is that this that he's will tie Hulk Hogan's record for a number of main events of WrestleMania Saturday night when he made events in the tag team match. And then he'll break Hogan's record on Sunday night, being the ninth time he's main evented a WrestleMania. Well, yeah, that's true. But WrestleMania wasn't two nights more than just a few years ago when the whole thing started. So, like, yeah, he's main evented WrestleMania. But it's, you know, this is the problem when you say that there's more than one main event. Because then you could say, if it's a multi-day event, that you've main evented that singular event multiple times. So Roman is really getting a two for one here, saying that he's main eventing WrestleMania twice in one night, or twice in a weekend, but it's the same event. So he's getting a little bit of a boost in stats. I'm not angry about it, but it is worth noting, right? So anyway, we get the stat of 1,310 days, and Cole said Reigns will tie Hulk Hogan. I already brought that up. He said Brooklyn, New York to acknowledge him and mentioned his A&E biography and pointed out his family above all hoodie, and his fans were chanting yeet. He said no yeet, and that he wanted to talk or thank his cousin Rock for helping make it the easiest WrestleMania of his life. Reigns said he and Rock will smash these fools. And Reigns said it would be bloodline rules on Sunday and they will have their way with Cody. Reigns thanked The Rock again, and he said he went above and beyond by making Cody bleed. Reigns said Rock whooped Cody, and it felt damn good to see him do it. And, boy, there's a lot here. So I'm not going to go through everything here, but he talked about Cody in 2020, where Reigns said they started making wrestling cool again, and that's where Cody was, quote, off somewhere doing a whole lot of nothing. Obviously referring to AEW. And the fans were like, oh, right. It struck a chord with some fans. And that's when Rollins comes out. Says that if the Bloodline thought they were walking, he was walking into their ambush, then they're dumber than they thought they were. And he said that they would have to fight the whole city of Brooklyn if they come up there. Yeah, well, I mean, no, because the people aren't going to attack the wrestlers. But I get the idea, right? Fine. Rollins said they crossed the line last week and the time for talking is over. Rollins said he was ready for a fight and wanted a fight. He challenged The Rock. He wanted to have the biggest main event of Raw of all time, and he challenged The Rock. And if good old DJ Dwayne Johnson has got the balls, and then he said he'd be just as happy to face Roman Reigns in the main event, and Rollins told him to decide which one of them it would be. And Rock said that it would not be him or Reigns. Solo Sikoa said that it's going to be him, and Rock said, we'll see you tonight, boy. You know, if I was in Brooklyn, though, of which I don't really regret not going, other than the fact that I may not ever see The Rock live at a wrestling event ever again, as long as I live, which is kind of depressing. So I did miss that moment. But I also saved probably close to $1,000 in travel and tickets and everything else in hotel. Anyway, it must have been pretty damn disappointing to go from the thought of a real possibility of Seth Rollins facing The Rock in the main event, and then kind of, you know, plan B being, okay, well, Roman versus Seth Rollins is still intriguing. And then it goes to Solo Sikoa. You know, like, you talk about going from the top of the mountain to just a landslide down. I mean, nothing against Solo, but he hasn't exactly been a world beater as of late. He's lost dozens of matches now. He's not nearly the force that we all thought he was, I should say that he was. He still can be. Just a few months ago, or especially last year before I think his first loss was to Cody Rhodes before WrestleMania 39. So, yeah, facing Seth Solo Sikoa, yeah, it's not exactly something that is exciting. I don't know why they would tease us with The Rock and Seth Rollins. The people were all about that, and I would have agreed. But didn't happen. Alrighty. So, let's see what happens next here. We've got the Rhea Ripley entrance, or Rhea Ripley's appearance on Ariel Helwani, I don't know, his MMA Hour show, which recapped the confrontation between Becky and Rhea Ripley. And Becky Lynch was then interviewed later and said that Rhea Ripley is invited, essentially. The first match, though, here we go. The Judgment Day's Damian Priest, Finn Balor, Dominic Mysterio, and JD McDonagh versus Kofi, Xavier, Johnny Gargano, and Tommaso Ciampa. Fast match here with the Judgment Day, Damian Priest, Finn, Dom, and JD beating Kofi and the rest of the group. And it was a razor's edge on Ciampa that ended up being the final maneuver to end the match. So now there's nothing wrong with this. I had nothing bad to say about this other than the fact that it wasn't a very long match. But the narrative that we've all been ignoring, and everything's been about Rock Roman, Seth Cody, occasionally Drew, Rock's, and then, oh, here comes Punk, and then it's Rock Roman, Seth Cody. While we're all focusing on that, and with good reason, there's another major storyline brewing that I don't think a lot of people are talking about. In fact, I don't hear a whole lot of people talking about it at all, or that it's brushed over. And that is the collapse of the Judgment Day that we're about to witness. They have been setting laying the foundation for a collapse of the Judgment Day for several weeks now. And it could be a tease, as we've seen before. Tension in a group is normal and it sometimes goes nowhere. But this has been a long-standing issue in the Judgment Day now for a while. And that is, quote, a lack of communication, Rhea Ripley getting angry at the group, Dom not communicating what he's doing, just kind of doing things without instruction or without approval. It seems like things are falling apart. And it makes sense, because things are probably going to likely collapse in a big way post-Mania for the Judgment Day, after they likely, although not guaranteed, lose those tag titles, likely to The Miz and R-Truth, although there's other contenders that can make some noise and have something to say about that. And Rhea Ripley's probably going to have a good night, but that may be it. I mean, the straw that breaks the camel's back is likely going to be the tag titles being removed from the Judgment Day. That's likely going to be the final straw, and Rhea Ripley, who, I mean, most of us are expecting to retain, and I think she still will, right now, there's reason to be concerned if you are a fan of the Judgment Day that they're not going to last much longer. And I'm fine with that. It may be time to just move on. It may be time to move on. They've run their course very well. I think all of the men and women with Rhea involved have kind of gone as far as they can go. I feel like Finn Balor needs to just stretch his wings again and leave and do his own thing as Finn Balor or the Demon or whatever. And Damian Priest obviously has made a name for himself as well and done an excellent job as the kind of co-leader of the group with Rhea. So, I mean, this isn't going to break my back or break my heart if I see the Judgment Day break up post-WrestleMania, but maybe they could string it out a little longer. Yeah, maybe Finn is the one who gets attacked and is blamed for the loss at WrestleMania. Maybe he's the reason. It just feels like it's about ready for things to change generally with that group. Again, job well done. And if there's even an excuse or a reason to keep them together, but this is the first time that I think we're ready to say, okay, and let's change things up. And there's no better time to do it than at WrestleMania. So we'll see. Okay, we then get, a graphic talking about the 13 consecutive sellouts, and then we get the footage airing of the Performance Center of Chad Gable coaching Sami Zayn in a film session in the gym and during an in-ring workout. Zayn was exhausted after throwing off multiple opponents, and then Gable entered the ring and put him in a move. Zayn tapped out and then asked what the hell that was. Gable asked Zayn if he thought Gunther would care if he was exhausted. Gable wanted to run the drill again, but Zayn said no and asked Gable if he was trying to burn him out a week before the match. And Zayn asked if Gable didn't think he was good enough, and Gable said Zayn was more than good enough. Gable said Zayn main evented WrestleMania last year, but that's when he had the hunger that is now gone. Gable said he's trying to pull that hunger out and questioned what was holding Zayn back. And Zayn said, I'm afraid, okay? And he was afraid of letting everyone down, including his wife and son. Gable said he understands that better than anyone. And Zayn said Gable looked him in the eye and said he didn't think he could beat Gunther. Gable said he was telling Zayn what he needed to hear and that he needed to prove everyone wrong together. And then he went back to training and threw Gable off when he put him in a hold again. So, okay, this is I really enjoyed this. I think it was effective. It kind of quieted, I think, some of the people that still want Chad Gable to be involved. He is involved, but in an indirect way. And we saw what happened to him later with Gunther, which I'll talk about. But I thought this was effective. I really did. I thought it humanized Sammy. It was an honest moment from his character saying that I don't think I could beat him. I'm afraid. I think that line was taken from Karate Kid. I have to be honest. When Daniel said that I'm afraid, okay? And he admitted it to his sensei. Those of you who watched the 1985 movie know exactly what I'm talking about. I think it was Karate Kid 1. But it felt very much Karate Kid, and that's fine. Yeah, I think that's fine. It humanized him, and it pulled at your emotional heartstrings a little bit, and I didn't have an issue with it at all. You know, you don't see a whole lot of the wrestlers using the Performance Center to train, but I think that was effective. Again, one of those small things. Small things add up to a whole lot. Okay, so we then get Sami Zayn coming out. By the way, there were Rocky chants or CM Punk chants when The Rock was attacking at the end. We'll talk about that too. But all right, let's get going here. We then get backstage. Rhea spoke with the members of Judgment Day. So here's something interesting here. We have Santos, Angel, Umberto, and Electra Lopez. They were greeted by Dom backstage, and Priest pulled Dom aside and said that this was too much, and he was leaving to make a call. And it looks like they're trying to use the Legado del Fantasma as some kind of alliance. But then we also got Andrade, who came face-to-face with Santos. And, you know, boy, do those two look alike. I don't know what this means for Santos and Andrade. Is Andrade going to take over as the leader? Is Santos going to, you know, attack Andrade at some point? But it was interesting to see Andrade, who's been directionless, let's be honest, since he came back from AEW. He's been completely directionless. But that may change at or post-Mania. I think that there was something there that they were setting this and planting the seeds for. All right, Sami Zayn and Bronson Reed. Fine match. You know, we had the attempted tsunami. It's Zayn avoiding it. And we got a no contest in about 12 minutes, which was weird because the match, I guess, just kind of ended after he was distracted by Gunther dragging the corpse of Chad Gable out. And Sami Zayn gets distracted, goes to attend to Chad Gable, who's lifeless on the ramp. And I don't know why the ref didn't count out Sami Zayn. I mean, he left. Why isn't the ref counting? Weird. So apparently it's just a no contest, which is kind of, again, just a strange decision. They didn't want to have Sami Zayn lose, I guess. But we then got an attack by Gunther on Sami Zayn, which I thought was effective. And then the title belt off the face. You don't see that enough. You know, there's something that I think they can do safely. It's not a chair shot. You can do title belt shots off the face, off the head. I think you can do it. I miss those kinds of that kind of violence that you can still say it's PG and keep the talent safe at the same time. I like it. But we got Gunther holding up his Intercontinental title belt and placing his foot on Sami Zayn. Sami Zayn, though, showed some life as Gunther was about to leave. And again, that's when he got shot down by the belt to the skull from Gunther. So I like this. I like that Sami Zayn is showing some fight. that Gunther continues to look dominant as hell. You know, of course, Bronson Reed wasn't really hurt by this because it was there was really no decision, even though Bronson Reed should have won by countout, but that's neither here nor there. So I thought this was an overall, again, effective way to just kind of conclude the build to this match. I would have liked a little bit more said from Gunther and Sammy, I have to say, like one more little promo, but that's just me being a perfectionist in this whole thing, and it still would have been, and it is just fine the way it is. Now, is it possible that we get Chad Gable still injected into this match? I would say it's a little bit too late because they would have done it already. They would have done it, you know, right after that segment where Adam Pearce makes the call. But it also is possible that Chad Gable was not beat up by Gunther and he's working with Gunther and he's going to turn on Sammy and cost Sammy the match. So I think that is very possible with Chad Gable turning heel at WrestleMania. I mean, I see the writing on the wall here. I mean, it could not be. It could just be an innocent observation on my part that I'm turning malicious. But the way that Chad expresses disappointment and how much that match meant to him, the gauntlet match he lost, and how everything meant more to him. What if he ends up turning heel and aligning himself with Gunther, or at least just helping him to win? He doesn't have to join Imperium, but just decides to screw Sammy because Sammy's the one that took the opportunity from him to be at WrestleMania. So I think that right now there's a strong possibility that we get Chad Gable looking like he's coming down to help and ends up turning on Sammy, costing him the match. Gunther's reign lives on. Just a thought. All right. Let's move on to the next piece here of Monday Night Raw. And we got Damage Control shown arriving backstage. Why? We don't know. No one cares. It's WrestleMania season, so I guess everyone's immune to the draft rules. But oh, everyone's immune to the draft rules. Also, the other 11 months out of the year. It just makes no sense. I know. You guys are going to say, like, stop complaining about the draft rules. Well, then here's the thing. Don't have a draft. Don't separate the rosters if you can't control yourself. And if you don't have the respect enough for fans to give them at least even a piss poor reason why they're there. Instead of just, oh, they're in from Friday Night SmackDown, Damage Control's here. Well, why are they here? Were they invited? Did they bypass security and somehow got on camera and found a camera that has a live feed? I mean, how did they get here? Why are they here? Basic questions. I'm not looking for an in-depth explanation with a dissertation. I'm just looking for basic answers. Even if they're bad ones, at least you give me one. That's all. Okay. Let's continue. And let's see. We've got Cole announcing that The Rock will induct his late grandmother on Friday. And to recap the news that Roman will induct Paul Heyman. So, no Brock, huh? So no Brock inducting Paul Heyman. But all right, Candice LeRae and Indy Hartwell versus Ivy Nile and Maxine Dupree. And okay, this match normally that goes 2 minutes nearly got double the time at 3 minutes and 35 seconds, but Ivy Nile and Maxine Dupree beat Candice LeRae and Indy Hartwell. And the finish was Dupree running over and rolling up Hartwell and pinning her, and LeRae scolding Hartwell after the match again. So the moral compass meets the bad guy, and that's the dynamic we're getting right now between LeRae and Hartwell. So, fine. Ivy Nile and Maxine Dupree win. Does that mean anything? Absolutely not. And it's a 3 minute, 35 minute kind of filler, check the box match. Hate it, but okay. We get then Jey Uso approaching Seth Rollins backstage and said he would have his back in the main event. He did bypass, that is, Seth Rollins bypassed McIntyre, and they had a bit of a quick interaction, and McIntyre said Rollins is broken and has one foot in the grave, and McIntyre said Rollins is broken and questioned if he really thinks he can beat him after he faces Roman and The Rock. And Rollins said he's not dead yet, which is kind of a cool thing. And then we get the next match here. Ricochet versus Ivar. This was a 10-minute match where Ricochet beats Ivar. The finish was Ivar hitting a springboard crossbody block for a near fall. Ivar went up to the top, attempted a doomsault, and Ricochet avoided it. Ivar stood up and charged Ricochet, who caught him in the corner and executed a fallaway slam, and then Ricochet followed up with a 630 splash and got the victory. I think this is, if you're keeping track at home, I believe this is Ricochet's fourth consecutive televised victory. I mean, Ricochet has been on TV undefeated for a month. So that's interesting if you care about Ricochet's career, because typically he's just there to enhance talent, especially on the way to WrestleMania when he doesn't have an actual established match. You know, they would put the people that don't have a story out to pasture. You know, they're essentially the talent that are there to put over the talent that actually have something going on at WrestleMania. But Ricochet continues to shine. You know, he's on a winning streak. He's on a four-match winning streak. And let's see if it continues. Yeah, the match was fine too. And Ivar is kind of an unsung hero. You know, you have to really think about where he came from, being in the Viking Raiders and an off again, on again team, and they were reinvented, and then they're not, and then they're soft, and then they're not. But Ivar, since he broke off with his partner injured, Eric injured, has really exceeded expectations and kind of got lost in the forest here and forgotten of how good he has become. Ivar has really done a nice job breaking off and into his own singles run here. I don't think that's talked about enough. But, all right. Moving on, we got, again, Andrade coming face-to-face with Legado del Fantasma. Very interesting dynamic there. Then Becky Lynch comes out. Her match with Rhea Ripley was listed for WrestleMania Saturday. And Lynch said that she and Ripley had done all the talking they need to do and challenged Ripley to come out and fight her. Adam Pearce comes out and says that's not going to happen. The fans boo him. And then Rhea Ripley comes out and Pearce told Ripley to save it for WrestleMania. And she then looked like she was going to comply and then tossed the belt in the face of Pearce. And then fought through the security guards, and Lynch and Ripley traded punches in the ring, and Ripley ended up on top of Lynch. Security pulled them apart and got Rhea Ripley to ringside, and Lynch, you know, there was the back and forth brawl. One person breaks away. We've seen it a million times. I mean, if you've seen pro wrestling, you know exactly what this looks like without me showing you. And it was effective, though. It doesn't mean it wasn't effective. It sounds like I'm complaining. It's an effective strategy if you don't do it every week. And it made you want to see it because you get a taste of it. And you want to just, you're saying to yourself, let them fight, right? Just let them go. And, you know, it was effective. At the same time, I think you guys might know where I'm going with this. Becky Lynch and Rhea Ripley were able to take out several much bigger, clearly stronger male security guards in the process. And Becky Lynch is what, 130 pounds at best, taking out someone twice her size. I mean, the men had to sell for these women. Why? I know it's because they're security guards. But if this was real life, these security guards would have handled, yes, even Rhea Ripley with ease, especially with how many of them there were. But I know they're there just to be bowling pins for jumps off the top rope and you pull apart brawls where they tackle each other and the security guards go down like a, you're slipping on a banana peel. I understand that. But I'm just looking at this going, man. I mean, Rhea Ripley and Becky Lynch just knocking out these men left and right. Like, come on. I mean, just stop it. But, I still come away with this with a positive outlook. And they've done a nice job getting me excited about this program that a month ago I didn't give a damn about. Clash at the Castle is returning on June 15th. And it'll be in Europe, but the location will be announced on Tuesday. So if you're in Europe, boy, you know, pay attention to your Twitter feeds on Tuesday. All right. There's a more pull apart with Rhea and Becky backstage. And then we get the fifth match of the night, which was Asuka, Kairi Sane, and Dakota Kai versus Shayna Baszler, Zoe Stark, and Tegan Knox. This was a 9-minute match. And in the end, Kairi Sane hit the elbow, the insane elbow, which actually looks, I really like that finish, on Tegan Knox and got the victory. So this is fine because, you know what? The team of Damage Control needs to look strong going against Bianca, Naomi, and Jade Cargill because they are insanely outmatched with strength, with speed, with just straight star power. I mean, this is a slaughter. This is setting up to be a slaughter of Damage Control. Now they'll make it an entertaining back and forth match, but if this was a real fair fight, I mean, my God, the Naomi and Jade Cargill and Bianca Belair would just lay waste to them. You know, I mean, if this is like a true competition, although I don't know if any of the Damage Control members have any MMA background. If they do, then maybe I'll be amending my statement. But nonetheless, it was the right decision to have them beat Shayna, Zoe, and Tegan clean because they need the momentum going into WrestleMania as much as they can really muster at this point. And also the fact that Shayna, Zoe Stark, and Tegan Knox have next to nothing going on in their careers right now at WrestleMania. So, okay. We got Seth Rollins being caught up with Kathy Kelly backstage and saying that he only knows one gear, and that's pedal to the metal, and he always has a plan B. Now, that was an interesting statement for me, because if you remember when Seth first turned heel infamously, one of the most infamous heel turns in the company's history, when he turned on the Shield at the time and hit Roman Reigns in the back with a steel chair, they were facing Evolution, and Evolution lost to them the night before. Triple H said that there's always a plan B, and that's the moment that Seth hit Roman in the back with a chair. Now, was that just a wink and a nod to that statement back then, or is that a foreshadowing of things to come of Seth turning heel again, with plan B being that heel turn? I don't know, but it was something that I wanted to mention to you guys and see what your thoughts are. So, okay. We then get the main event here, Seth Rollins and Solo Sikoa in a non-title Bloodline Rules match. Another way to say no DQ, street fight, a Miracle on 34th Street fight. It's all fine. I mean, I could probably come up with literally a dozen different ways to just say no disqualification. I mean, they're all essentially the same thing with just different ways to label it and market it. I'm not complaining. It's just funny. I mean, you can call it Bloodline Rules, whatever you want to say. Right. Let's move on. But a good match. Boy. I mean, can we do some kind of case study on what the fascination is with tables? Fans just like tables. They like seeing people go through tables. Tables are sometimes more over than the talent in the match. That wasn't the case here, but it sometimes is just like, can you guys watch the match and stop asking for tables? You know, I don't know what it is. When you get wrestling fans in a no DQ match, all they think about are, you know, where are the tables? I want to see someone go through it. But we did get Solo going through it. So he did get it, and then he got stomped. And that's where things turned, because Jimmy Uso showed up, super kicked Rollins. Jay came out, fought Jimmy to the back. And that's when The Rock came out and ran Jay into the video wall, and then The Rock walked into the ring and looked at Rollins. Rollins flashed a smile at The Rock, and then Cody Rhodes' entrance hit, and Cody was hitting The Rock with punches and then joined Rollins in clearing the broadcast table, and then Rollins slammed Rock's head in the broadcast table. He was about to hit a rock bottom on The Rock when Roman Reigns appeared, saved the day. The crowd was chanting for CM Punk. Now, I understand why they were, because CM Punk would have been a nice addition to this brawl. Obviously, he can't do it, but Punk did mention The Rock in his promo last week. So there is a little bit of connection there. But and also people want to see CM Punk versus Roman Reigns at some point. That is a match that people have been asking for. And I think they'll eventually get it. But in the ring, Reigns hit Rollins with a Superman punch and then hit Cody in the ring with a spear. And then they started just whipping them with the weight belt, with Cody's belt, whipping them uncomfortably long. No one came to help, and taunting them. Lots of boos, a Rocky sucks chants. Just, again, uncomfortable in a way that makes you want to see Roman and Rock get their ass kicked. Yeah, it's mission accomplished. It's very much mission accomplished. Very nice build here. Very much a WrestleMania-worthy ending to the show. Just solid storytelling overall. A much different feel from the Vince McMahon go-home shows of yesteryear. And I think that it's reaching that boiling point. And sure, we still have SmackDown. We still have SmackDown to go, and that's kind of the put the bow on the whole thing. I don't expect anything revolutionary to come from SmackDown. It's more of a let's just kind of just wrap it up so we can be ready to go Saturday and Sunday night. But it'll still be fun to see and see how they just any last minute promos, any last minute tweaks or the finishing touches on the build is what we're going to see Friday. But again, I don't expect anything revolutionary to be had on Friday or any new matches, I wouldn't think. But we do have, by the way, we do have the Street Profits and Bobby Lashley taking on the Final Testament. That's a real thing. And I think the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal is taking place on SmackDown this week, so it's not going to be on WrestleMania, even on the pre-show, which is a godsend. So it's shaping up to be a hell of a weekend. So you're going to want to stay here for all the coverage, all the predictions, all the reactions that are going to come your way the next several days. There's not going to be really a day at all this week until maybe a week, not even a week from now. I don't even know the next time that this show won't have a day where we're posting stuff. So it's a great time to go ad-free if you've been considering it or thinking you want, well, I'll do the free week trial and then I'll cancel the subscription so I don't get charged. A lot of you are going to do that, and that's fine. You're more than welcome to do that. I can't stop you. But it gives you everything ad-free, and it's on Patreon and Apple Podcasts. Both offer 1 week for free. So, again, I'm telling you to do it because there's no better time of year to get everything for free, ad-free, than during the biggest wrestling week of the entire year. So I'd encourage you to do that. And, you know, I do think that this is going to be a massive WrestleMania. They gave us the lineup for both nights, and we'll go through that in the official preview and prediction show later in the week with Anthony DeMarco, as I mentioned. So, boy, oh boy, so much to look forward to. There's a lot coming up, as I mentioned. Very solid go-home show. I'd rate it like a B+. Could it have been better? Sure, it could have been a lot worse. I think it was very good for what it was, and Brooklyn got a heck of a show. And those of you that are going to WrestleMania, travel safe. I'm jealous. And I didn't even realize, I think I might have said this already, from Albany here, it's a lot closer than I thought. It's only 3.5 hours away. I thought for some reason Philadelphia was like 6 or 7 hours from me. It's like 3. So I said that to my wife. I'm like, you know, WrestleMania is like, Philadelphia is only like 3.5 hours away. She's like, no. She's like, no, it's not. You can't. And I said, I showed her, you know, GPS. She's like, what? Yeah, so if I had presented this a little earlier, I might have been able to make a case for, you know, going to WrestleMania last minute. But hey, I'm still going to have a heck of a time from my couch, and I know a lot of you will as well. And I know a lot of you who are listeners that are going. I know a lot of podcasters that are going, and I wish I could have connected with all of you. It would have been a lot of fun. But we can still do that with our Patreon or on Twitter. I'll be all over Twitter or X. I'll be all over that throughout the shows, throughout this week. Stay with me. You know, you can follow me, by the way, on X at the WWE podcast, which is really wrestling underscore audio. But you can search the WWE podcast. We're verified. That's us. So I hope you do consider it. And it's going to be a wild week of wall-to-wall wrestling, professional wrestling. Because guess what, guys? If you didn't remember, it's cool again. All right. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Take care, and I'll talk to you soon.
Thanks for listening to the WWE Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe on your favorite podcast app so you don't miss a show, or head to WWEPodcast.com. And for all of these shows ad-free, head over to patreon.com/WWE Podcast. Until then, we'll see you next time.